congregation may be seated.
Let's just unite our hearts together and commit the service now to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask today that the presence of thy Son will be with us as Jesus himself drew near to those two grieved and broken souls on the Emmaus Road. And as Jesus stood with Mary and Martha at the time when they lost their brother Lazarus in death, so may Jesus himself draw near to every grieving and aching heart this day. Attend to us in this house of mourning. Give strength in all that will be said and done. May the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, the family comforted, and sinners pointed to the Saviour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are gathered here this afternoon to thank God for the life of Dr. Kenneth Elliott and to mourn his sudden passing to be with Christ, which for him is far better. Can I say to you that the family appreciate your presence here today and the sympathy that has been expressed to them over the last few days since Dr. Elliott's passing. I would personally ask you please to continue to remember them and to uphold them at the throne of heavenly grace. I would also like to say at this opening part of the service, there are a number of people who have passed on their sympathies and condolences. They are not able to be with us today, and I just want to mention them at the outset of the meeting. The Reverend David McElveen, the Reverend Frank McClelland, the Reverend Reggie Cranston, also Mrs. Paisley, and as well as that from our church family in Bethany, missionaries Paul and Marina Briggs. Each one sends their sympathies and condolences to you, and they are so sorry that they cannot be with us and with you in this your time of grief. On behalf of Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, I would like to express the deepest Christian sympathy to the Reverend Elliott's sorrowing family, to his wife Jean, to his children Alison, Shirley and John, and to their families, especially remembering the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Also to the Reverend Elliott's brother Clive, to his sisters Maureen and Yvonne, and the entire family circle. Our prayer is that the God of all comfort will minister grace to your hearts in this your time of sorrow and need. This church will ever be indebted to the Reverend Elliott's ministry. As a young man of approximately 30 years of age, he was called to be the minister of the fledgling congregation of Portadown Free Presbyterian Church in the autumn of 1973. The church at that time met in Corcoran Orange Hall. I believe that is where the Reverend Elliott may have been ordained to the ministry. And for 43 years that followed, he exercised a faithful, God-honoring and soul-saving ministry in this town. Under his ministry, the congregation began to grow and enjoyed the evident blessing of God. In 1975, the present site here in the Vacary Gardens was purchased, and the original church building was erected. That was quickly followed by the Sabbath School complex, which we now refer to as the Assembly Hall. I said on Sunday morning that at one point there were 400 children on the annual roll of the Sabbath School here in Bethany. Those years of the 1970s and 80s were marked by great soul-winning missions, when dozens of individuals were counseled and pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of the older generation in Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, and indeed others throughout the town, can point to those times as the time of their conversion. Missions such as the Brownstown Road, Kilmagamish, Derrycarn, and Craigavon Lakes, to name but a few, live long in the minds of the congregation here. They are viewed as times of refreshing from the Lord. In 1988, under the guidance of Dr. Elliott, the church commenced a Christian day school, which continues to this day, providing independent Christian education for nursery, primary and secondary pupils. In 2005, the present church, which we are in, was erected. And then in 2012, the new state-of-the-art school building was constructed just to the rear of this building. 43 years of ministry cannot be summed up in a few moments, but I would endeavour to do so by stating that the ministry of Dr. Kenneth Elliott in Portadown in the following way. For 43 years he protested graciously against error. He proclaimed the truth of God's word. He pitied the souls of lost sinners. He pointed men to Jesus Christ. He pastored God's people. He pioneered a separated church, and he prayed without ceasing. The session, committee, and congregation place on record today our thanks to God for the life, the ministry of Dr. Kenneth Elliott, and to his family, who witnessed firsthand the sacrifice that he made for the Lord, the Lord's work, and for this church. On behalf of this congregation, I say to you as well, thank you. We assure you of our prayers now and in the days to come. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 are a fitting description of his life, his testimony, and his passing. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. Can we turn, please, to the opening hymn in your order of service? Dear Saviour, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Standing, please, after the introduction, on the organ and piano. Reverend Trevor Baxter is going to lead us now to the throne of grace in prayer, and immediately after that, Reverend David Park is going to come and pay further tribute to Dr. Elliott.
We'd bow, please, in prayer. Mr. Elliott, I have known for almost, 50 years. A dear friend, a brother beloved. He was my first senior minister. I count it a privilege to have known him. I loved him. I loved his enthusiasm for the Lord's work and the wonderful gift of evangelism that God gave him in abundance. We'll bow, please, in prayer. Eternal, loving, Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this day in this house of mourning in the wondrous and precious and peerless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank Thee that amidst the sorrow that's in the hearts of so many, there is that wonderful hope of the Gospel. We know, Lord, that Cain is gone from us, from his family, from his loved ones. But thank God today he's with the Saviour. He was preaching Christ on the Sabbath morning in Lurgan. And now he's with Christ. He has seen Christ. Lord, we thank Thee for a life well lived for Thee. And we thank Thee for the friendship that we had with him. The many times of fellowship we shared together. Lord, we will miss our brother. We do miss him. But he's with Jesus. And that's an encouragement. But it is the family, Lord, we come to. We think of Jean, this dear lady. Lord, will you bless her? Oh, put your arms of love around and about her. Lord, may she know Thy presence and Thy grace. Pray for Alison and Shirley and John and their families. All the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, his brother and sisters. Lord, we just pray for this family. We ask the Lord to come and sustain them in their time of sorrow and grief. Lord, let them know as they do know that they're not saying goodbye. They're just saying goodnight. Meet again. Praise the Lord in the morning. Lord, we ask Thee to come now and comfort hearts, grant beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And O God, we ask Thee to come now into this service. We pray for all who will take part. We remember, Lord, every individual, whether they're come to pay tribute to Mr. Elliott or to sing or to pray. But Lord, especially we ask Thee to bless the ministry of Thy word. Help Mr. Dean to preach Christ. This is what Ken would want. Christ would be preached. Lord, we ask Thee now to shut out the world and all the distractions and focus our eyes and thoughts on eternity. And if there be one, even in this vast crowd of people, without Christ, use Ken Elliott's passing to lead them to the Saviour. So Lord, abide with us now. Undertake for us. Help us to look on to Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.
What a tremendous note of victory. Dear Saviour, Thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. And it is in the midst of all the sadness and the heartbreak that we can sing with such confidence those words. And although our hearts are breaking today, really, for our brother Ken Elliott, it's glory. Glory all the way. It's a privilege to be asked to say something. Thank you to the family. And I know what I say today, I speak on behalf of my colleagues in the ministry. I speak on behalf of the students who are with us. I speak especially on behalf of the five young men from this congregation who went into the ministry. And I speak especially on behalf of our brother, Dr. John Douglas, who is with us today. I'm not sure exactly where he is, but we are delighted that he's here. Where is the Lord's servant? We would have had you here, brother. Inseparable friends they became, and he has so many precious memories. If I speak in personal terms today, I'm only speaking by way of reflection what so many here in this church building felt and experienced. He was the minister of Bethany for so many years, the lecturer at the Whitfield College of the Bible in several subjects. He served on presbytery committees, including the Education Board and the Forward Movement. And he was our deputy moderator for a couple of years. And perhaps above all, he was Mr. Evangelist, who won countless souls to Christ in this Portadown area and right throughout the country. Many will meet him at the right hand of God. In fact, many have met him there. And they are rejoicing today in the presence of the King. And they're thanking God for the day when the Reverend Elliott was sent forth to be a preacher of the word. Our brother has gone to glory. He has entered his eternal rest to meet the Savior that he loved and served on earth with faithfulness and distinction. He's rejoicing today. As a family, we came to Bethany back in 1975 to enjoy a ministry that we had never experienced before. God brought us out of a dead church that didn't preach the gospel. And he brought us to a place where the word of God was central and where Christ was preached in all his fullness. And we saw the difference immediately. And we were at once attracted to the powerful preaching of divine truth. We warmed to the minister and to his ministry and to the Bethany congregation. And so we found a spiritual home. Our family did, where we were happy and content to worship the Lord, and we look forward every week to coming here. It was here, though I professed just a few years earlier faith in Christ, it was here that we really came to go on with the Lord and to grow in grace. It was here that we were established in our faith as a family. The spirit of evangelism was instilled into our hearts. A desire to serve Christ was nurtured, and a love for the souls of men developed, and these divinely instilled burdens never left us all these years. Bethany, under the ministry of Ken Elliott, was thoroughly a New Testament, gospel preaching, evangelistic church seeking to fulfill the Great Commission and to send the gospel into all the world. Many were sent out under God's servant into the ministry and onto the mission field. And Ken was proud of his boys. He really was, as we were proud of him. I remember the missions. As many of you who are older will remember the missions. You mentioned the name Kilmagamish, and the Brownstown Mission, where Brother John was converted to Christ, Craigavon Mission, many more besides. I remember those days of tremendous, powerful preaching, souls being converted to Christ. I remember the outreach work. Our brother Paul Briggs was my outreach partner, going door to door with so many in the congregation, inviting others in to hear the gospel. I remember those days of outreach to the Sunday school. Our brother thought we would get a team together just to visit exclusively for the Sunday school work. John Gray was my visitation partner. We were just teenagers. We went to the youth fellowship on a Friday night. John would have come home with me and stayed the night. And Saturday morning out we went. We were designated the Craigavon area, and others were going out into parts of the town. And you know, dozens, scores of children came in. One bus in Craigavon, a second bus had to be put on, and that was the same in the town. And I remember that record Sunday. I don't remember the exact figure, but maybe 450 children at the Sunday school. I remember gospel services. I used to sit down here in the old building. Nearly every week, souls were being converted in those days. I remember the man of God on fire in the pulpit and the fire that burned in the pew. Reverend Elliot was my pastor. He was my friend. He was my colleague, my mentor, my encourager. In every successive ministry that God was pleased to give me, he was a great support. From my student days in Ardara, and then over to Oulton Broad. He came to visit us there. He stayed with us. We did outreach work, not only in the immediate area, but we went up to the city of Norwich, I can remember, and mention has been made to his energetic way of walking, and I had trouble keeping up with him. We went round the doors. We hired out a hall, and we had gospel meetings. And it was in that time he was introduced to McDonald's. There was no McDonald's in Northern Ireland, but there was one in Lowestoft, and he loved to go in there. And I know Mr. Douglas and him went to McDonald's. Two unlikely people to be found in such a place. But I think they have shares with McDonald's. They went there that often. David was only a little boy of 3. And sitting at the dining room table, he said, "Mr. Elliot, my mummy says you can't preach." And she just went red. She didn't, it wasn't quite like that, you know. But he laughed about it. I think she was speaking on the phone, "Mr. Elliot can't preach on Wednesday night." But he didn't hear the other bit. And just quoted what he had heard. And then we came to Port of Oge. And he came down to preach at evangelistic missions there. We had blessed times. Ballymoney, the past 22 years. What an encouragement he has been to us. And sometimes it was difficult for him to make a decision. Do you ever find that? He used to ring me about mobile phones. And he would have talked about a mobile phone. Now, what one should I get? Or maybe he was looking one that I had that I could pass on in those days. But a month later, he was still talking about it. Maybe 6 months later, then he actually got around to getting the mobile phone. Now, the Lord was seen as pleased to call him home. And he's reunited today with his family members and his friends, many from Bethany, who have gone on before. He's seen the Saviour. He's entered into the joy of his salvation. He's free from the trials and the burdens of life. He's in the place of the no mores. As we think of the last chapters of Revelation, it tells us about the things that are not in heaven. And those things are absent for him now. Do we understand why he was taken at this time? When he was still so useful in the work of God? No, we don't understand that. We haven't got the answers. But we do know that God's way is perfect. We know the Lord does all things well. Very sudden and unexpected passing. We expected recovery. He took ill. He had pain, and eventually he consented to go to the hospital Sunday week ago. Discovered he had taken a heart attack and was in high risk of another. But overnight he was stabilised. Monday got the procedure done, the dye test and the stent inserted. And really from then on in we expected recovery and many more years to be given to the Lord's servant. Out of hospital, seemed to be doing well. And then we know very unexpectedly last Saturday evening he was taken from this scene of time. Lawrence, I know for you and Victoria it was a very difficult time. And you did what you could until the paramedics arrived. But he wasn't coming back. The prayer of Christ was answered. But the Saviour prays for his own. The great high priestly prayer of John 17, he prayed that those that the Father had given him would be with him where he is. And for Ken Elliott, that happened on Saturday night. He was in retirement years, but he wasn't retired. And we still valued his contribution to Lurgan, to the college, to the academy, and to the presbytery in general. Our sympathy today is with the family to our sister Jean. I was visiting in the hospital last Tuesday and Jean came in and didn't know until she came in, 53 years married last Tuesday. What a lovely moment that was when her sister came in and they had that little time together. And to Alison and Shirley and John, Lawrence and Julie and the grandchildren, you know, he was a family man. Loved his children. I don't need to tell you that because you know that he loved you very much and we know that you loved him. And he was very proud of being a family man. And, he said, I have two great-grandchildren, you see. That made him much better than me. I've only some grandchildren, but he had gone that stage further. We think of the many friends that are here. We think of the Bethany congregation. We think of his elders that served with him all these years. Men like our brother Woolsey. We think of the presbytery. Think of our own congregation in Ballymoney. You see, Dr. Kearns here back in 1976. Those were great years for the Free Church. Mission was conducted in Ballymoney. 57 people were converted to Christ at that mission. And they're going on well today. And one young man, he's one of our elders, now in the church. We thank God for gifting to the Free Church such a man of God. And the sweet influence that he's been to us all. And Jean, Alison, Shirley and John, on a human level, we thank you for giving your husband and your father to our churches. Faithful pastors and evangelists make many sacrifices. And not least, they sacrifice their time to others that could have been spent with the family. So thank you in the Saviour's name. We have the certain hope of the gospel. And therefore we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And there's coming that day, and what a glorious day it will be, when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And those tremendous statements that the apostle was moved of God to write has a little prefix in the end. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And there's tremendous comfort there. As I finish, you know what Mr. Evangelist would say to you, dear unsaved that are here. Some of you sat beneath his ministry all your life and still you're not saved. Maybe family members who were still without the Lord. Our brother would say, meet me in heaven. Meet me at the Father's right hand. Prepare to meet the Lord. Turn to Christ in faith. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. I trust if you're not saved, that you'll come to know our brother Savior today. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Reverend Park and Reverend Baxter, for your contributions today in this service. We're going to sing our next hymn in the order of service, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me from a world of care. Standing again, please, together after the introduction.
Thank you.
seated.
There were five men who came through this congregation under the ministry of the Reverend Elliot, who entered the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. The Reverend David Park, who has paid tribute, was one of them. We're going to ask another one of them now, the Reverend John Gray, minister of Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church, to come and read the scriptures to us. And immediately after he does that, Dr. William McCrae will come and minister in song.
On behalf of our session committee and congregation in Tandragee, I want to express our deepest sympathy to the Elliott family circle, to Mrs. Elliott and her family. We do pray that the Lord will continue to sustain them and help them in these days. We know that he has been giving them grace, and we do pray in the days and weeks, months that lie ahead, that they will know in a very special way that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. I'm going to read Psalm 91. It was a favourite psalm of the Reverend Elliott's, and in recent weeks and days it had been a great source of strength and comfort to our brother. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the Gnossian pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the otter, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Amen.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears will dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Then he'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I'll look upon His lovely face, the one who saved me by His grace. He'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I'll see, and I'll look on His lovely face, the one who saved me by His grace. He'll take me by the hand, He'll lead me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Can I simply say thank you to you and your family for giving me the honor to be with you here at this service. And I earnestly pray that God will keep His hand upon each one of you. And what a day it will be when the family of God get to heaven, meet around the throne, see Jesus. May God grant that each one of the family will be there on that day.
Thank you, the Reverend McRae, and also to the Reverend Gray for reading the scriptures. John Elliott is going to come and say a few words on behalf of the family. He said to me late last night, he said, "Now if I don't get through this, you be at my shoulder and you take over." So I'm going to give these men warning behind me. If he doesn't get through it and I don't get through it, it's an emotional day for us all. But John, come and say a few words on behalf of the family.
First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you for being here today. We're overwhelmed at such a turnout as this for Dad. It is a beautiful sight to behold for us. So many people here to pay their respects, to grieve with us, and join us in thanksgiving for the life and work of such a wonderful servant of God. Thank you to all who have personally contacted us and shown us support in so many ways, and those who have reached out to us in social media. Your support and prayers have been invaluable. Special thanks must be given to Dad's ministerial colleagues. You have all cared for us, prayed over us and for us, upheld us before the throne of grace. To the elders and committee members of Bethany who have worked with Dad during his 43 faithful years of ministry, and to the elders and committee members of Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church, where Dad also ministered faithfully for his last 3 years. As a family, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. To the ladies of the church, you have the monumental, and I don't know how they did it, the task of catering for everybody today. We thank you sincerely and we will be forever grateful. There are some people as a family that we would like to mention by name. Mrs. Shirley Haffey, Mrs. June Irwin, Mrs. Margaret Tinsley and Mrs. June Briggs. These four wonderful ladies worked from morning to night, cared for and ensured anyone who visited our home had a cup of tea and something to eat. They took time to make sure that we as a family sat down together and had something to eat. And these four ladies were the backbone in our home for the past 2 days. From the family, may I say with hearts bursting with thankfulness, we couldn't have got through it without you. To Alan Ray and co-funeral directors, their professionalism, comfort and assistance meant the world to us, and they went far above the duties that normally befall the funeral directors. And finally, to who I thought was going to be my support up here, Reverend Abernathy, you've proved to be a tower of strength, support, friendship and love towards us. And I want to say to you the same sentiment, that we couldn't have got through it without you. On Saturday the 19th of January, at 6:15 p.m. the Lord called home a hero of the faith, a soldier of the cross. Dad has been reunited with friends and family and past colleagues. But above all this, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, face to face with his Saviour, whom he loved and served and worshipped with every breath he took. Psalm 116 verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints." And if I may reverently say so, I think the Lord looked upon Dad with the biggest smile and he welcomed him into heaven with his arms outstretched and he said, "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant." And then says each Dad's reply came from Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." We have heard so many personal memories from people who have told us how he has been a helper, a leader, a comforter, a teacher, encourager, counsellor, friend, confidant, spiritual father. And these have filled our hearts with so much joy and comfort. But there has been a theme that has run throughout our own conversations as a family, and that's how proud we are of him. To us, he was a husband, a father, a father-in-law, a brother, a brother-in-law, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, an uncle and a cousin. And as we sit here today with hearts torn apart and grief, we through it all feel more proud of him than ever. It was an honour, a God-given honour, to have him lead our family. And lead as he did. Dad's departure from us has left an aching void that will never be filled. An old American gospel singer said, "If the lights burn brighter on stage than they do at home, then you're in trouble." Dad didn't have a stage, he had a pulpit. He was a pastor and a minister and a vessel used by God to deliver his word to his congregation. And let me tell each and every one of you in here and whoever's outside, without hesitation, the Ken Elliott that you've seen in this pulpit, at your homes and at your bedside, is the Ken Elliott that we saw at home. He was our minister too. The one we went to in trouble. The one who gave us advice. He was the shepherd of his own family. What a testimony. What a preacher. What a leader and what a man. The Reverend Cal Paisley in Open Broad sent me a poem this morning and I want to share it. "When I have gone, remember I'm with Jesus. Then do not grieve because I've passed away. Life holds so many griefs and disappointments, and why will you weep because I didn't stay? 'Tis only for a spell we must be parted. Not many years on earth to us are given. And when my Saviour tells me you're coming, I'll go with him and welcome you to heaven. Grieve not because the eyes that looked upon you shall never see your face on earth again, but rejoice because they look upon the Saviour who gave his life to ransom sinful men. Weep not because I walk no longer with you. Remember, I am walking streets of gold. Weep for yourselves that you a while must tarry before the blessed Lord you may behold. Dad's testimony and legacy will live on for a very, very long time to come. Not only in our homes and our hearts, but in this church, in this town, and the country of Northern Ireland. He led his family and his congregation from the front. And I want to say it again. He's a hero of the faith. A soldier of the cross. I'd ask you to remember us in prayers, especially Mum. We have very tough days ahead as a family. And the loss of our dad is unmeasurable. And we ask you to uphold us at the throne of grace. But today, rejoice with us in thanksgiving that we all here can say that we knew him. And we loved him. And the Lord used him mightily to touch our lives and so many lives so wonderfully.
Thank you, John. How difficult is it when you're full of emotions to come and speak of the one you love so dear? And we thank John for paying that very fitting tribute to his father and speaking on behalf of all of the family. And we assure them that in the days that are to come, we will particularly remember them and their mother. We'll sing the hymn on our order of service, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." This is a tremendous hymn of victory. Let's sing it with all of our hearts, and we'll change our positions again as we do so.
Oh,
before I asked the moderator, and we're glad that the moderator of Presbytery, Reverend Gordon Dean, minister of Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church, is here today. And just before I ask him to come and bring the message of the Lord to us, can I also say that we have received condolences to pass on to the family from the North American Presbytery. It is addressed to the Reverend Greer, the clerk of our own presbytery, and it reads, on behalf of our North American Presbytery, I extend sympathy to the Elliott family and the whole Free Presbyterian denomination, the passing of our esteemed and beloved brother, the Reverend Kenneth Elliott. So many have been deeply impacted by his life, by his testimony, and by his zeal for the cause of Christ. He was a wonderful encourager to all who desired to serve the Lord. Members of our presbytery here in North America remember his ministry to us when he visited as a delegate from Ulster. We truly thank God for every remembrance of him. We therefore join with you in mourning his loss, yet we rest assured that he has now entered into his reward to receive his heavenly Father's "Well done, good and faithful servant," signed Ian Gallagher, moderator of the North American Presbytery. The Reverend Dean will come and bring God's word to us.
I do count it the highest of privileges to be able to take part in this service today. And as the moderator of Presbytery, I do express the condolences of our Presbytery to Mrs. Elliott and to the family, to Alison and Shirley and John, the grandchildren, to all of the family circle here today. Our brother really is integral to the work of the Free Presbyterian Church. He was the minister, as you've heard, put it down 43 years. He was the former convener of our forward movement. He was a lecturer in the Whitfield College from its inauguration, and then from 1999, professor of homiletics and personal evangelism, and then from 2015 to 2017, he was the deputy moderator, the post that I had the honour of succeeding him in. And we do, as a presbytery, pass on our sincere sympathy to the family. We'll be remembering you in prayer before the Lord at this time. Can you turn with me to Job chapter 19, please? I'm just going to read a few verses for the sake of time. Verse 23 of Job chapter 19. The book of Job chapter 19 and reading from verse 23. It says, "Oh, that my words were written, now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Can we just unite again in a word of prayer? Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee in our need. Once again, we thank thee for thy presence already in the meeting. And O God, as we come to meet around thy word, we pray that that word might be a comfort, a help, a blessing to each one. We thank thee for everyone in this meeting who can say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And our God, we pray that thou wouldst come in comfort to our hearts and blessing. Speak to every heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. There are many of you here will have known Dr. Elliott in different ways. Mrs. Elliott knew him as a husband. Those that know him as a father, a grandfather, a great father, grandfather, a brother, uncle, pastor, gentleman. I don't. John mentioned the notes on the social media, and I was reading some of those many, many notes that were given. And people spoke about him as a pastor and about the influence that he had spiritually. One of the things that stood out that they said was that Mr. Elliott was a gentleman, and he was a gentleman. But more than that, more than all of those things, Ken Elliott was a Christian. He was saved by the grace of God. From what I understand, it was 1961 that Ken Elliott came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was growing up, he had gone into work, and at that time, as a young teenager, he really hadn't any thoughts about the things of God. He was indifferent towards the gospel, never opposed the gospel, but he said, just had no interest in the things of God. He was faithfully sent along to church, and all through that time, he still went along to church. And as he went to church, he began to listen to the word of God. And somehow that indifference was turned around to an interest. And then the interest became conviction. And as a young lad of 17 years of age, he got a Bible and began to read the Bible. And as he read the Bible, there were many instances of the judgment of God and about the fact that the Lord was coming again. And all of those instances, he said that when he read those, he would often shut the Bible, because those things were things that were speaking to him. And he realized that one day he would have to stand before God. And then when he took the flu, the Asian flu was going about in those days, and he was off work for a little while. And in his sick bed, he began to think again about, if this is so terrible, this flu, then what will it be to be in hell? And he said that he got out of his bed and knelt down on the floor in his home in Festival Road in Portadown in Killikameen. And he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his heart to be his Savior. And what a transformation that took, made in his life and in his future. You know, the old hymn writer A.H. Ackley expressed it in the words. He said, "You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." And the Lord Jesus Christ lived within the heart of our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Job knew all about that here. Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. We think about how Job suffered in his life, and he was tempted in many ways, but in the midst of it all, in the midst of all his trials and his tribulations, he's able to declare with this certainty and with this hope, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And I thought about this service, and I thought about those words, and I think that they bring a wonderful assurance to us, and they speak to every one of us as we come to this sad time today. And there are a number of things that I just want you to see very simply in the text of Scripture. And the first thing that I want you to see is that there is deliverance. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." The word Redeemer there is a Hebrew word, goel, which is a kinsman redeemer. And a kinsman redeemer in the Old Testament days was someone who would buy back the freedom of a relative who was in debt or sold into slavery or something like that. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is our deliverer and our redeemer. We read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, "He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself a peculiar people." The Bible says you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And the price of our redemption was the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God we have a Redeemer and we have a Deliverer. Ken Elliott had a Redeemer and a Deliverer. The Bible speaks about the problem that we have. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that our iniquities separate between us and our God. We need a Redeemer. We're in bondage. We're in corruption. But thank God today for the one who went to the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood that we might be redeemed. Dr. Elliott loved Spurgeon, as was mentioned in the home. He had an extensive collection of books that had been written by Spurgeon or about Spurgeon. C.H. Spurgeon one day was walking through the streets of London and he saw a young street boy with a battered cage, a bird cage, and inside there was a field sparrow. And the field sparrow was just a poor little thing. And Spurgeon asked the boy what he was going to do with the little bird. And with a sly grin, the boy said, I'm going to play with it a while. And then, with a grin, he said, I might kill it. And Spurgeon had compassion on the little bird. And he said, will you sell it to me? And the young boy said, oh, mister, it's only a field sparrow. You don't want that. You know, it's no value. But then he saw that the man was serious. He says, £2. Now, £2 in those days was about worth £100 today. But Spurgeon reached into his pocket and gave him the £2, and the wee boy went away. And the next Sunday in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, Spurgeon had the cage. He had let the little bird go, of course, in the meantime. And he told the congregation the story about the little sparrow. And he said that this is like the Lord Jesus. He said sin had us caged. Sin had us in its grip. But he said sin came and it said to us, oh, he said to the Lord Jesus, there's no value in those people. They'll only mock you and spit at you. But the Lord Jesus paid the price of his precious blood and bought us back and drew us unto himself. And I'm glad tonight or today that we have a real Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And Ken knew that on a lino floor in 1961 in 43 Festival Road, he came to know the reality of the Redeemer. Do you know that reality today? That's what makes the difference to this service today. That's what makes the difference to the family today. You know they have sorrow and deep sorrow and it'll be lasting sorrow. But with Ken, it's far better. And what an assurance that brings to our hearts today. You know, he loves us and he's a real Redeemer in spite of the troubles that we go through. Job went through all those troubles and trials that you read about in the Word of God. He had boils and he lost his whole family in the midst of it all. And maybe today we wonder to ourselves, as the Reverend Park said, why such a useful servant should be taken out in the middle of his usefulness. But you know, God has a time and a purpose for everything. And God knows the end from the beginning. And you know, he says, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Thank God we have a real Redeemer. But not only is he a real Redeemer, he is a risen Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He is alive today. He is the one who has not only conquered death on the cross, but up from the grave he arose. The old hymn, the resurrection hymn said, Jesus, Lord Redeemer, once for sinners slain, crucified in weakness, raised in power to reign. He liveth. He lives. He is our Redeemer on the right hand of God. And our brother has gone to meet him. The old writer said, I want to see my Savior. First of all, before and many others I will call. And then for countless days, on his dear face, I gaze, I want to see my Savior first of all. our brother has entered into the presence of his Saviour. He went to meet the loved ones. And my, what a reunion in Glory Square. But oh, to see the Saviour, to be in his presence. And he knows today, as he never knew before, that his Redeemer lives. He's a real Redeemer. He is a risen Redeemer. But also, thank God, he is a received Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Our brother could say, with a personal, intimate knowledge, I know my Redeemer. He was Ken's Redeemer. From the day the Reverend Elliot came and put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was his Redeemer. Is he yours? Is he yours? Our brother preached 43 years in this pulpit and in this town and across the province. And that was his message, that you needed to receive. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Dear friend, have you ever received him? Is he your Redeemer? If this was your funeral, where would you stand? Oh, dear friend, you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ today. We have a deliverer. But secondly, I want you to see that the text speaks about decay. It says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. There's a reality of death, and there's a reality of decay. And there's something else that Job knows here. He knows that he will die. And he's a lot wiser than a lot of people in this day and generation who seem just to blank that out and never consider their latter end. He said, though after my skin worms destroy this body. And Paul, hundreds of years later, explained it this way. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly to desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Our bodies will not last forever. At least, our earthly bodies that we have now. And I want you to think about the inevitability of death. The Bible says we must needs die, for as water spilt on the ground which cannot be gathered up again. If you were to look on sermon audio, and look at the last uploaded sermon for Dr. Kenneth Elliott, you'll find that's the text that he preached on. He preached it just last month in our Mount Marion congregation. And in the midst of that message, he spoke about the inevitability of death. And you know, death is not only an inevitability, it's a necessity. We must needs die. We have sin within the body, and the wages of sin is death. But it's not just physical death. Physical death doesn't just mean that we cease to exist, because there's an eternal part of us. And we think about eternity today. And I wonder, do you consider eternity? Are you prepared for eternity? Dr. William Nelson was a Union general in the Civil War in America. And he battled through Kentucky, and he went through many battles. But in the midst of some play acting among his soldiers, he was shot and actually mortally wounded. And when he was mortally wounded there in his relaxed situation, he said to his soldiers, send for the pastor. He said, I need to be baptized. Now all through his youth he never thought about that. All through the battles he never thought about that. When he became a general, he never thought about it. And the battles were going on, and the war was still going on. The only thing that had changed was his circumstances. And suddenly, and baptism wasn't going to save him at the end of the day anyway. In 3 hours, he was dead. But he'd never considered that before. You know, we need to be prepared to meet God. You think about the inevitability of death. But also you think about the immovability of death. You see, there's a day fixed by God for our death. There was a day when God intended Ken Elliott to come to be with him. A day when he intended for him to die. And we read in the book of Job chapter 14 and verse 5, it says, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed the bounds that he cannot pass." And while the family worked on her brother, that was the day appointed for him. There's a day appointed for you. Dr. Octavius Winslow was a 19th century preacher and an author. And he said this: "Christian, your time of death, with all its attendant circumstances, is in the Lord's hand. All is appointed and arranged by him who loves you and redeemed you. Infinite goodness, wisdom and faithfulness, consulting your highest happiness in each circumstance of your departure. The final sickness cannot come. The last enemy cannot strike until he bids it." Wasn't it wonderful that Ken was amongst his family, meeting his loved ones, having a time of fellowship, and to go out then just to meet his Maker? But that was God's time. But there's also an intimacy of death. What does the Bible say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Lord was with him. The Lord walked by his side and took him by the hand and led him to the place of eternal bliss. Paul said, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And that's our brother. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And our dying is not a thing to be feared, because it is a promotion to glory. I'm not talking pie in the sky. I'm not talking some vain philosophy today. I'm talking reality. Dear friend, there's decay, there's death, and you need to be prepared. But there's one more thing that I want you to see in the text, and that is delight. Because Job declares here, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." So Job was not only confident of the Lord's resurrection, but he was confident of his own resurrection. He says that with his Redeemer, he will stand upon the earth at the latter day. He says, "There is coming that day when I will stand with my Redeemer." We know that day. We have it described in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." There's a day when the Lord will come back, and his people, their bodies, will come out of the grave. You see, we speak about the salvation of the soul, but sometimes we forget about the redemption of the body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 55, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" But listen, we're saying farewell to the earthly remains of our dear brother and loved one. But he will rise, and he will be changed. And the body that you put in the ground today, up from the grave, he will come, changed, glorified, and in his flesh, he'll see God. In his flesh, he'll see God. You know, the man of God here, he has a desire. He says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in the book. God did take the words and he printed them in the Bible. But he said that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. He was so thrilled with this revelation of his God. Some think that that is a reference to having that engraved on his tomb. But he was so thrilled with his Redeemer that he wanted those words to be emblazoned forever in rock, in lead, so that never be erased. And let those words be written on the fleshy table of your heart today. Our brother's Redeemer will stand upon the earth. Our brother's gone to be with him now. He's in his presence. But one day body and soul will be united. And so will we ever be with the Lord. Dear friend, as you think about the words, think about the Lord's servant. Think about the many warnings that he gave. He would love his words to be written upon your heart. But the most important thing is that you know his Redeemer. That you come to his Savior. Even in this funeral service, will you come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. May God write his word upon our hearts.
Let's unite our hearts together briefly in prayer. Lord, we pray that thou wilt use thy word to the comfort and to the conversion of souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn, please, to the final hymn on the order of service. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Before we stand to sing this hymn, I have a number of announcements. I would like you to listen carefully to them. At the end of this hymn, I would ask you to remain standing. The deputy moderator will come and close in prayer, give thanks for the refreshments, and pronounce the benediction. After that, please continue to remain standing while the coffin is removed from the church. The family will follow the coffin from the church, and I would stress to everyone, please keep it in mind, the burial is private, so when the family and a few others leave the church, I would ask you please to take your seats again. The tea and refreshments will be served where you are, so I would ask you please to remain seated, and as the family go for the private burial, the ladies of the congregation will serve the refreshments. Could I say to those watching on in the assembly hall, if they remain seated where they are, the ladies will serve them in the assembly hall. I'm not sure how many are watching on in the school building. There may be opportunity for them to come up to the church here. There will be some pews which will be vacated by the family that they can take here in the church and be served tea as well. The family on their return will be entering into what we know as the youth room, which is just beside the assembly hall, where they will have refreshments, and you are welcome to go there and greet them at that time and as you leave today. Please do keep these things in mind as we bring the service to a close. Standing, please, to sing our final hymn.
Eternal God, our loving and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou art God, and there is no other God beside thee. We realize, O God, that thy servant of old was able to say, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we thank thee for what the grace of God made Ken Elliott to be. Family man, a minister and preacher of the gospel, a contender for the faith, a friend and a beloved brother in Christ. And we rejoice this day that we have been able to sing words that are applicable to him. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. We thank thee, O God, that our brother has gone home. We rejoice that he has entered into his eternal rest and his everlasting reward. And we thank thee, O God, that he is in heaven this day, redeemed and saved by the precious blood of Christ. We thank thee that his Redeemer was made known to him way back all those years ago. And that's why he is in heaven this day, not because he was a good family man or a preacher of the gospel or faithful in all of these other ways. But we rejoice that he is in the glory today because of Jesus Christ and the finished work of Christ upon the cross. Oh, we thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee for giving him to be a Savior of many. And we rejoice this day in the hope of Christ and the gospel. Lord, we ask that thou wilt speak to all of our hearts. And we pray that even in our brother's death, he might slay many for Christ and for the gospel. And as Mrs. Elliott used to sing, it's invitation time. We pray, O God, that there will be those, even today in this funeral service, who will receive that invitation and accept the invitation of eternal life. Amen. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank thee for the Savior. Thank thee for every memory of our brother Ken, and for the gift of memory, and for the blessings of fellowship in Christ and in the gospel and personally with him that so many here have. Lord, bless his dear wife. We commit her to God and to thy grace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Lord, be with our brother's family in this time of the shadow of death, and in the days to come when that shadow of death goes along and it seems as if the valley lingers for a long, long time. Be a father to the fatherless. Be a husband to the widow, and grant that the Lord's grace and blessing will be upon all those who mourn our brother's passing. Accept our thanks for thy presence in this service, for grace given to all who have participated. And we ask that thou wilt receive of our thanks for the good things that are provided. We thank thee, O God, for all the material benefits of life. And for the grace and goodness of God, the Lord openeth his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. And we pray that the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will rest, remain, and abide with God's people, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.